Good morning. Today's reading comes from John 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how can you tell if someone is a Christian? Maybe you can tell because they're wearing a cross necklace. Or maybe you can tell because they get really dressed up on Sunday morning. Or maybe if they're a little bit younger, you can tell because they either have a cross or a Hebrew word tattooed on their wrist. Those are kind of funny examples, but this morning I want to suggest that you actually can't tell whether or not someone is a Christian just by looking at them. Instead, like Jesus says, you have to look at the way that a person treats another person that is hard to love. Our scripture passage for this morning contains Jesus's greatest commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we had to describe, if we had to choose one word that describes Jesus's life and ministry, it would be love. Jesus spends all of his time here on earth teaching us how to love God and how to love one another. As followers of Jesus, our lives and our work need to be characterized by love as well. Now, Jesus's commandment might have sounded a little bit familiar to you all. And I think this is because this commandment is actually a reinterpretation of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. If you'll recall, the Ten Commandments teach us the do's and don'ts of how we are to love God and how we are to love one another. For example, we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. The second half of the commandments outlines how we are not to love, or what is not love towards our neighbors. Things like not committing murder, for example. Now, the Ten Commandments are really great legal codes. What I mean by this is they are a great way for us to put some boundaries around what is and what isn't acceptable human behavior. The problem, though, with legal codes is that they don't always take into account the messiness that is the human condition. So what Jesus does is he takes these commandments and he broadens their application. Take murder, for example. I think we can all agree that murder makes it impossible for us to live in community with one another. But let's say, and I just want to preface this by saying this is just an example, let's say that my sister murders my brother-in-law because he left his socks in the living room one too many times. I think we can all agree that in this particular situation, my sister acted inappropriately. But how am I supposed to act towards her, given how she has acted? How am I supposed to act towards someone who has done something that I think is unforgivable? I hate to say this, but in our text for this morning, Jesus is clear. We are to love one another. This commandment is a call to love even and especially when it is hard. This is a call to love Judas after he has betrayed us to the Roman authorities. It's a call to love Peter after he has denied us 3 times. Christian faithfulness, then, means loving one another, even in the midst of the suffering that is to come when we try to fulfill this commandment. I would argue that loving unlovable people is what distinguishes the Christian community from other types of community. Unconditional love is what separates us from, for example, a Sunday morning yoga class. Like the song that we sang this morning says, the world will know we are Christians by our love for one another. But we're not just loving other people because we want to or because it feels good. We're doing this in response to the love we have experienced in Jesus. It's not enough for us just to love Jesus or just to love the people that are easy to love. No, we have to embody this love we feel towards Jesus in concrete acts of love in the world. To give you an example of what this type of love in action can look like, I want to share with you the story of the final 2 finishers in the 2019 Pittsburgh Marathon. On May 5th, 2019, thousands of runners gathered in downtown Pittsburgh for a grueling 26.2-mile run. It can take runners anywhere from 3, if you're really, really good and really, really fast, to more than 7 hours to complete this course. On their website, the city of Pittsburgh said they would give runners 7 hours to complete this course. If a runner took longer than that, they would be escorted off of the course so that roads could reopen to traffic. Around mile 14, Laura Mazur met Jessica Robertson. Laura was completing her 6th marathon, Jessica her 1st. Now, mile 14 is around the time in the race when things start to get interesting. Your legs start to feel like they weigh 500 pounds each. Those annoying blisters that you formed around mile 10 have started to break and hurt. No matter how much protective clothing you wear, your thighs and your underarms start to chafe. You're cramping everywhere. Jessica turned to Laura and said she wanted to quit, to just go on without her. But Laura turned to Jessica and she said, if you stay with me, then I will stay with you. Over the next 3 hours and 24 minutes, Laura and Jessica took turns holding hands to keep each other on pace. The city of Pittsburgh decided to keep all course amenities open so that these women would have access to water, snacks, first aid stations, and cheering stations, the same one that earlier runners did. The women came in 3,420th place and 3,421st place out of 3,421 runners. And they finished the race with a time of 7 hours and 22 seconds and 7 hours and 24 minutes, respectively. I don't know if you guys have seen the picture on Facebook of them crossing the finish line together, hand in hand. So this story was actually picked up by the national news as an example of what can happen when we support runners. Their story contrasts what happened to slower runners in the April London Marathon, who were yelled at and taunted, and a few of them were even sprayed with cleaning supplies when they didn't finish the race in time for the cutoff. But what I love most about this story is it's an example of love in action. Laura told reporters that she completed her other five marathons with a sub-6-hour time, meaning she completed the race in under 6 hours. But she completed this race an hour and a half later. I don't know if any of you are familiar with runners, but for runners, timing is everything. So she basically sacrificed her running time so that Jessica could finish. The city of Pittsburgh made the decision to keep aid stations open so that these women could finish. I don't know if any of you have volunteered for the marathon, but frequently you have to show up at like 3 or 4 in the morning if you want to get a good volunteer position at these stations. So these volunteers were effectively agreeing to stay for 2 hours after their shifts had ended. This, to me, is love in action. What I love about this story is it shows that all it takes to love another person is to agree to stay with them. And it also shows how one person agreeing to stay with one other person created this ripple effect in our city. Friends, I think we Christians need to be setting the example of what this type of love can look like. But oftentimes we limit our acts of love to acts that only happen in this building and with our church families. But if we limit our acts of love in this way, we're really not following Jesus's commandment. If we take seriously our desire to follow Jesus, then we are going to have to participate in acts of love in the world. Perfect church attendance isn't enough. Visiting our best church friend when she or he is in the hospital isn't enough. We have to model this sacrificial love of Jesus in the world. I'm sure you can all see where I'm going with this. Our text for this week challenges us to imagine where God might be calling us to love unlovable people. Not all of us are going to be asked to run a 7-hour marathon. That's very, very difficult. I'm not setting that up as the bar. But I do think that all of us know one or two unlovable people in our lives. And we love them not because we want to be recognized, not even so that the world will know we are Christians, but in response to the love of God that has grabbed hold of us and that will never let us go. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.